Heidi, I know I took all your time. Come in. Heidi is just an absolute gem. She designs and builds and works from home and has a little baby, and her husband is a great IT person and works in the secular world. And her commitment to us is she practically works as a volunteer around here and builds all of our websites. She just finished the new seminary website and building it out. And so we just appreciate Heidi to death, and she's going to give you a bunch of stuff.
So everything is in your notes, but I'm just going to give some visuals to accompany some of the things, and I'm going to go through some of this kind of quickly. But first, I just want to reiterate that I am the communications director here at the church. I was hired originally as a graphic designer, and over the 7 years that I've worked here, my job description has kind of grown and changed, and now I have this official title that nobody remembers, but that's okay. But why is it that we suddenly need a communications director? The Tri-City Baptist Church survived for over 30 years without someone in that position. And after all, communication has always been central to the church's mission. The Great Commission is all about communicating the message of the gospel to the world. So why is it that suddenly churches are hiring communications directors whose job is, since nobody knows what, that means that the job of the communications director is to make sure the right message gets communicated to the right people at the right time using the right method. So why is it suddenly important? And it's because of this topic that we're talking about today. Technology has created all of these new media that we can use to get our message out to the world in so many different ways, so much more easily, but it's a two-edged sword. So on the one hand, it's easier and cheaper to get our message out to people, but on the other hand, that means that everyone is now communicating with everyone, or at least trying to. It's so because everyone is getting bombarded with so much information today, I know Pastor Mike and I were both guilty of checking our email while we were sitting back there, and you know, there are just so many people competing for your attention that it's a lot harder to get people to listen. So as a church, when you're trying to tell people about who you are, when you're trying to tell people the message of the gospel, when you're trying to tell people what you have to offer, about the Vacation Bible School that you have going on, about the Sunday night Bible classes that you have going on, all the things that you have to offer people, and trying to get people to come in, it's so much harder because there's so much else competing for people's attention. People have all these filters up that they use to just get rid of all the information that is coming at them. So that is why churches are now turning to communications directors and recognizing that there is a need to be more deliberate and strategic in communication in order for it to be effective. So media in ministry is kind of a two-edged sword. It's great that there are so many more things that you can do now, but it also makes life a lot more complicated. So to simplify things a little bit, you want to make sure that you're speaking your audience's language. Now, this does not mean that you're changing your message. We're not changing the gospel, but we're just trying to communicate in a way that our audience is communicating. I give the example in the notes that if you were going to become a missionary to Romania, you would need to learn the language before you went or have a plan to learn it. You couldn't go there and expect everyone to learn English just so you can talk to them. That'd be nice, but it's not going to happen. And in today's culture, people are speaking through all of these mediums of communication like Facebook and Twitter and email and things, and you need to find out what your audience is communicating in so that you can jump in there and be communicating with them as well. For example, our youth pastor doesn't use email primarily to communicate with his teens. He uses a private Facebook group that he has set up because that is where most of his teens are doing their communicating. So it's not necessarily that he says, oh, I like Facebook, so I'm going to use Facebook. It's that that's where his audience is, and so he's trying to reach them where they're at. Now, when we're talking about audiences and media, a lot of times we want to jump ahead to, we want to reach the unsaved masses. We want to reach the people in our neighborhoods, in our community that aren't in church. And that's definitely important, and we want to keep that in consideration. But I argue that our members are our most important audiences. And sometimes they can also be our hardest people to reach because they're not always listening. If I had a dollar for every time I had to tell somebody, well, it was in the bulletin, when they say, I didn't know that was going on. So, yeah, it unfortunately, even with your members, requires communicating your message several times, several ways before they'll get it. And so you can't just say something from the pulpit and expect people to remember. They were probably checking their email. And you can't just put something in the bulletin anymore and expect that people will, one, read the bulletin, or two, think it's relevant to them, or three, remember it. So part of the two-edged sword of media is that you now have all of these ways of communicating open to you, but you have to use several ways of communicating in order to get people to listen. Here are several different ideas. We're not going to talk about all these today. I go into a little bit more detail on some in your notes, but these are just kind of some ideas for if you're looking for some ways to get your message out that you're not using already, here are some ideas, and these are all in your notes. So let's jump in and get a little bit more in detail about websites. I'm not going to... I'm going to kind of click through some of these slides quickly, but a church website is no longer an option. Having a church website is not really optional. Here's some statistics that I found interesting. So of people who have just found a church, they found that 27% of those people found that church online. So they would not have found that church if they did not have a website. And even people who found a church by driving by and seeing a sign or by a friend's recommendation, still 61% of those people said that the church's website was instrumental in them making the decision to attend that church. So it really is no longer optional for a church to have a website. There's so much involved in setting up a website. If you don't have a lot of resources, money, or members who know how to create a website, then here are a couple of things to keep in mind. First, there's creating a site, and then there's maintaining a site. You may only have the resources to have someone create a website for you. You may not have a member or staff member who can maintain your website for you. And if that is the case, then create your website with that in mind, knowing that you're not going to be able to change it. So don't create that website and say, oh, well, Christmas is going on right now. Let's put up something on our website about Christmas. And then 6 months later, it still says Christmas on there because you don't have anybody who can change it. So don't start something that you can't finish. If all you can do is put up 3 pages about your church, then do that. But just make sure that you have information on there that's not going to change. And that's where we get into static versus dynamic content. Static content doesn't change. That's your service times. Usually they don't change. The pastor, usually that doesn't change. That's aimed at guests, visitors. You can set up a site simply that just has some static content. If you have the resources, it's great to add some dynamic content. Information that's changing all the time about current information, putting up photos and things, that's more aimed at members and getting your members to come back at your website and then using your website as a communication tool for your members. I have some different screenshots of things that we have on our website, but this is all in your notes, so I'm going to just click through it really quickly. I want to talk a little bit about photos. And we have found that putting photos of recent and current events on our website has been a great way to draw people back, not only our members, because they like to see pictures of themselves, but also people who may not have even ever visited our church. So if we have a Vacation Bible School going on, we can put up pictures of Vacation Bible School, and maybe family members who wouldn't go to church normally would go on there to see their children, and then you might be able to get them to come visit as a result. Yes?
Do you have any concerns about facial recognition software out there and people going to the website and taking people's pictures and then following through and causing problems because of that?
Well, you do have to be careful when you're using pictures, especially of minors, but either way, we do put photo releases on all of our registration forms, and there are cases, especially with our school, where sometimes there's a child that because of a custody dispute or something, we can't put pictures of online. So you do need to be aware of those things and take, you know, just common sense precautions, definitely. We do try to get a permission from every person that we might be taking pictures of. So it's...
We put a photo release on a youth activity. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You can't perfectly cover against anything, but you try to do your due diligence. So With digital photography these days, it's so easy for people to take pictures and to get them up quickly. We personally use Picasa, which is from Google. You can, I think it's 2 gigabytes of free storage where you can put up photos, and then you can pay a nominal fee for additional storage. But then different volunteers can upload photos, and you can share them really easily. So there are just so many tools out there that you can now use. But definitely any time that you can use a picture, like Pastor Mike was saying, pictures are so much more powerful than just words. So and you can use photos throughout your media, not just on your website. I'm just going to click through Google Analytics. Any questions about websites before I move on? Yes. Well, I definitely you want to be listed in search directories because you want people to find you if they go search for a church in Chandler. You want your site to show up. I don't spend a whole lot of time on what's called SEO or search engine optimization. That's kind of a really big topic that people will try to sell you a lot of services if you do set up a website. As long as your site is well written and has information in there, as long as you say that you're a church, you say what area you're listed in, the search engines are pretty good about finding you, so you don't really need to be too concerned about it. Google is always changing their search algorithms to try to get rid of people who try to stack the search deck, as it were. So the more natural and just put up information about your church, and the search engines do a pretty good job of finding you. You can also do Google AdWords, when you do a Google search and the little ads come up on the left side. Those are pretty inexpensive to do as well. You can target them to people only in your city or cities around you, and so that's a good way as well to also expand your church. Definitely. If you have a Google account, you can set up Google AdWords, and it's all text-based ads. I think you can now do some picture ads, but it's so easy to set up a text ad. You put in the keywords that you want. If somebody searches for Baptist Church Chandler, then you bid for, okay, I'm willing to pay 50 cents for somebody to click on my ad. And so you can put in your bid amount. You can set your budget, like I only want to pay $1 a day or $50 a day. That's kind of how you set how much you want to spend. So you only spend what you want to spend every month. But we have ads for our school. We have ads for our sermons that we post. We have ads for our college. So when you have a special program coming up, like a summer camp or something, you can put up special ads that are targeted at that. So that's a fairly inexpensive way to reach people through advertisement. Exactly. And those ads now are seen in other Google products as well, not just search. So it's really a great way to get your word out there. Any other questions on web? Pastor Mike was talking about using presentation software to communicate, so I'll just show you an example of if you have a pretty complicated outline for your sermon, then it's great to be able to just put it on the screen so that people can follow along easily and don't have to sit there. I remember several years ago when Pastor Mike would have to repeat his point like 3 or 4 times so that everybody could write down every word, and even then you might miss them. Now if it's just up on the screen, it's just easy to be able to write it down and follow along. We can put verses up there, so someone who is new to the church, who maybe has never opened a Bible before and would have trouble with finding a passage, can see the words up there because it's so powerful when people can read scripture for themselves. And then we can also use photos to illustrate points, like Pastor Mike said, the adult flannel graph. So that's just an example of using. Yes. We can also use before and after the service, we can put up announcements to reinforce our branding with our logo. You can use photos to draw more attention to announcements. And also we post photos of recent events in announcements. So screens are pretty cheap. We just put the one in our lobby maybe 6 months ago, and so that's a great way that we can extend kind of some of that advertising throughout the week, that we can have announcements showing up for school families who wouldn't come to church otherwise.
Has anyone considered what the long-term effect might be on people that are part of the ministry and get used to that, and then they move and they're in a church that doesn't have that? Kind of like you have a car that's got a backup mirror on it, and then you don't have one, you run into the garage?
We have a great solution for that. No one can leave. They all have to stay here. Hopefully they would go to the other church and say, oh, well, you know, this other church I went to did blah, 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 and maybe we can spread the media word. So I know that that's happened with people sharing with us things that they've experienced at other churches that we've learned and grown from. So
we don't, almost all of our regular attenders, I can't think of any of our regular attenders that don't bring their Bible, open their Bible, and read from the Bible and say, close. We've been doing this for several years now. We just haven't had a problem with our regular attenders on picking up the Bible.
I'm just going to really quickly show you some pictures for, we use Constant Contact for our email newsletter and other ways to get out emails, but there are other programs out there. I put some in the notes. But it's a really great way we can track if people do open an email. You can see over here. The recorder. You can see over here who's how many people are opening our emails, how many people are clicking. We can go to a specific email. We can look and see what people are clicking on. So instead of just putting something in the bulletin and then hoping people read it, we can actually go and see if people are clicking through to the brochure for Pastor Mike's Israel trip. And then we can see that there is actually interest. So it's a great way to cheaply communicate with a lot of people, and also it's a lot easier for members to just forward your email onto their friends, and then you've got your message out to a whole new audience of people. Social media is the same way with Facebook. You can post something about an event on Facebook, and then your members can share that with their friends and relatives, and suddenly you've opened up your reach. I was just looking at our Facebook page, and it was saying that of our followers who had liked something, there were 16,000 of their friends that were then exposed to our message in their friends' news feeds. So social media is free. It's easy. You don't have to know any programming. You don't have to know HTML or anything. And you can get your message out there in so many different ways. You can use photos, links back to your website. You can promote the upcoming sermon. There's just so much that you can do with social media. So I'm just going to really encourage that. Here's an email that we linked on our Facebook page, and then it went to our website. So there's really a lot that you can do to integrate, and it gives great reporting as well. So I encourage you to think about maybe appointing a communications director in your ministries, whether that's somebody who's already on staff, just suddenly has that responsibility of making sure your messages get out effectively. There's a lot that you can do with media, so you can't do everything, but evaluate your needs, your audience, and how you can best use media to get your message to them. But make sure before you start something with media that you can finish it, that you can do it well. So put a plan in place and follow it. That's huge. Don't just go start trying to do everything and then not following through. Even just pick one thing and get that done, and then do another thing, and then make sure that you can follow through on that. There's so much that I want to do for our ministry that's on my long-term plan that I just haven't had time to get to yet. But keep learning and keep growing in media, because as Pastor Mike said, Facebook will be gone tomorrow, but there'll be something to replace it, so you've got to keep up on things. So I'm sorry that was really, really fast, but send me an email if you want, and we can continue the conversation offline, as they say. So thank you.